Yellow.
I have to manually put people into the meeting like usual. So
oh, that's so annoying.
Part of me is like, I can just wait. I don't have to do it now.
You hold the power.
I know. It's only Katie and David. I'll admit them. Chris, I'll wait for him. What time is it? Oh, 56.
Hello, hello, hello. How y'all doing?
Hi, friendo.
Happy to be here.
Happy to be here. I have to individually accept everyone to come into this meeting, so.
Yikes.
This happened last week, too. I don't know why Zoom does this every single time.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have yet to figure out how Zoom works, and we're like...
Zoom always go full screen for y'all if somebody starts sharing their screen.
Yep.
That's so weird.
So annoying. You can click escape and it'll go away, but...
Yeah, no. Yeah. But it's just weird that it does that.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's definitely not you. Don't worry. It's just so...
Just zoom it.
When you change the speaker view for me, I don't know. It just, like, it's so frustrating. Someone tell the oh, we have some guests. Here we go.
Yeah, all of the incoming council should have received an invitation for today's meeting.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Where could be at?
All the newbies.
I just went on a walk and I'm sweating and freezing all at the same time.
We're just going to give it a few more minutes so we can get to quorum because we're almost there.
If we don't meet quorum, I will die.
That would be a bad look. That would be a yes.
We're only one away.
I'm going to put a sassy message in the chat. I don't care.
Actually, I have a question for the speaker.
Yeah.
Am I able to make a motion from the floor to amend a policy?
Let me just do some quick research. I'll let you know.
Okay.
I also have a question for this speaker.
Yeah.
Does my sister have to register as a guest if she's in my room? She's coming to see council, though.
Does she want to ask questions?
I doubt it.
And she, then she's good.
Did you say your sister?
I feel like that question was asked based on a special connection.
Wait, did you just say sister? I gotta know if you were asking because of your sister.
Yeah, it was sister.
My sister. Her sister was like, let me hear Robert's voice.
I want to.
Jared, it takes two majority votes at council to amend policy.
Two majority votes? Okay, we'll do it.
Like two, like they have to be 7 days apart. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is a bylaw thing, not a standing orders thing.
So. Okay. I'll introduce it today.
Sure. Okay. It never works.
Well, because like I can do the first one today, right?
Yeah. Okay, I guess. We'll do that. Why not? I'm here to support the homies. Okay, we're definitely at quorum now, so we can begin. Let me just open something. Okay, so I'll call us to order at 6:04. I'll remind you all of the oath that you have taken, and I'll read our territorial acknowledgement. We would like to respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students' union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We are grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Soto, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux Territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papa Chase Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. Aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards the decolonization of Indigenous knowledges and traditions. All right, so I'll move into speaker's business. So this is our last meeting, but it's a special meeting, so it does not have all the bells and whistles of the last one, so there's no joke motions this time. If you want to be on the speaking list ever for a motion, just indicate so in the chat on Zoom. Please enter your name, and we'll add you to the list. If you're a guest of council here and you want to speak during open forum, please send me something in the chat, just saying your name and faculty, if applicable. And just indicating that you're a guest and you want to speak. There is an exit survey for counselors. It was sent in an email last week. I'm sure we can send it again if need be. But please make sure to fill it out. I believe on the agenda there's a link to Jobkin, I believe, which leads you to the speaker application. So if you want to apply to be a speaker, definitely do so, and I'm always here to ask questions or answer questions. Also, I believe that we're looking for Dive Board's members soon, so make sure you think about that as well. I'm going to special order the one motion on the late ads onto the main agenda, and that'll be the first thing we cover when we get the boarding committee business. And with that, we're going to move into attendance. So please just indicate if you're present or not when I say your name. Okay, President Batnagar.
Present.
VP Agarwal.
Present.
VP Brown.
Here.
VP Stat.
Here.
VP Larson.
Here.
Governor Lee.
Here.
Councillor Conrad.
Hello.
Councillor Vargas Alba?
Yep.
Councillor Beasley?
Here.
Councillor Chen? Councillor Dixon?
Here.
Councillor Draper?
Hello, friends.
Councillor Isaac? Councillor Esmail? Councillor Kidd?
Present.
Councillor C?
Here.
Councillor Bose? Councillor Bishiki? Don't worry, Councillor Conroy, I got you. Councillor Harris? Councillor Sunday? Councillor Nguyen? Councillor Blondin? Councillor Hadouche? Councillor Badesha?
Yep.
Councillor Dillon? Councillor Gutierrez?
Present.
And Councillor Syed?
Here.
Perfect. Thank you, everyone. So I'll move into our agenda. Again, if you want to be on the guest list or open forum, let me know. But there are no presentations, which is nice. So we'll just go into executive committee reports. Again, since we've only met, or we met just a week ago, if there is no reports for either the executives or the boards and committees, definitely don't feel like you have to give one, but we'll proceed as we would normally. So are there any members of the executive who wish to make a recruit or wish to make a report? All right, President Batnagar, you have 2 minutes.
Just for the entirety of council, I'll be doing this report on behalf of the entire exec. It's been a rambunctious couple of days, I guess, since the last time we've met, but we're just continuing to do transition and work on ways to support the executive's transition period. We will be on a blackout style retreat for the last week of the month. So we won't necessarily be available for a lot of projects. So if you need anything, please feel free to reach out to us ASAP. But other than that, we will just be online transitioning for a bit.
Perfect. Thank you. And I'm seeing that all of you are here. Don't worry, Councillor Bowes, I got you. And I got you, Councillor Isaac. Okay, perfect. Thank you, executive. I assume there's no more reports if you did yours on behalf of the exec. We'll move on to board and committee reports. So we'll begin. And again, don't feel like you have to make one. It's only been a week since our last meeting. But any report from ARC? All right. Councillor C for Audit Committee.
Yeah, thanks. So I do have an update from Audit Committee. So we did meet yesterday and we approved Agricultural, Life and Environmental Sciences, Science, Hub and iHouse. And then we're planning on meeting once more on Thursday just to do the six that are remaining. These are the ones who either were late in handing in reports or receipts, and that's why it's so far out now. So for that, we're just going to meet on Thursday. And for things, for the ones who can't access their receipts, some of them can't access their receipts because they're in different cities and whatnot. So that will just be something the next committee will have to handle. And we'll definitely give them a good transition for how to handle that. It shouldn't be too difficult. It's just a couple, two, as far as we know, that we probably won't be able to handle, or three actually, that we won't be able to finish this Thursday or make approval for those three. But then the other three, possibly, if they just hand in their receipts this Wednesday. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it from audit.
Perfect. Thank you, Councillor C. Councillor Margazelva notes that, Vice President Brown notes that ARC will be hopefully meeting tomorrow. To Councillor Draper for Bylaw Committee.
Howdy, friends. I couldn't put the finger guns emoji in the chat, so I'm just going to retroactively finger guns for my pun earlier. But quick stuff. There's one bylaw on this agenda today, Bill 8, which is the second principles of the Aboriginal Consultation Bylaw, which was mostly written by Councillor Sunday, and I believe he had a few other helping hands on that, but it was sent to bylaw, and we made a few clerical changes, that kind of stuff, and not too many major things. Then we have it ready to go here for y'all, so hopefully you enjoy it, and yeah, that's really it. I wish the best of luck to the next bylaw chair, and yeah, cool.
All right, thank you. On to Councillor Beasley for CAC.
Everybody, so very tiny report, mostly on the work that Kristen and Akanka have been doing. Basically, we're going to be doing a pretty big push for Dieberg Tribunes in the next little bit, and so we're going to open up the application, and it'll be open for a long time. So all that stuff that I mentioned earlier about getting your lawyer friends to apply for things, do that now because that's happening. Oh, hey, what about our jackets? They're on campus in the exec office. I am so sorry, but I can't get them to you right now during this global pandemic, but I'm sure if you could make it into 2900 that someone could probably hook you up today. And yeah, that's the CAC report.
Thank you. President Batnagar, is there a report on behalf of the executive committee that you want to make? Okay, let me know, President Banning, if you want to make a report on exec committee.
No, I said no.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you. Vice President Stat for Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Finance Committee did meet, and we put forward the budget to Council, which obviously was on the late editions for all of us to review today. As something that's sort of an aside, as well on that, Finance Committee is now basically completed its mandate for the year, and I'm just working on creating a chair transition. So,
perfect. Thank you. Vice President Brown, do you have a report for Nominating Committee?
Nominating Committee hasn't met. However, I am still working on getting the Senate nomination process out. That's the last major item for us this year. The process for Senate nomination will be released by this nominating committee, but it will have to be completed and evaluated by the next nominating committee. Senate terms don't actually start until July 1st, so there is time to get the vetting process and the selection done over the next couple of months with the new committee.
Perfect. I read earlier from Councillor Vargas Alba that there was no report from policy, so I'll go to Governor Lee for the Board of Governors if he has a report.
The Board of Governors has not met, and I don't have a report.
Perfect. Thank you. And then Councillor Dixon for the Sustainability Committee.
Hello. I'll just do a really quick one. So we are continuing with doing consultation for a recommendation and kind of wrapping things up for next year. And that's it. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. Are there any other
board or committee reports, or any other members of council who would like to make a report on behalf of a board or committee. Additionally, last meeting we changed the report's standing order, which now allows for anybody to kind of just make members' reports. So if you have one of those to make, you can make one as well. But if anybody has a report to make on behalf of a board or committee, let me know in the chat. All right, we'll move on to open forum. So I don't believe anybody registered for open forum. However, if you want to register, you can do it right now. But just let me know. And additionally, open forum is now guests can make questions or they can make statements. If there's any guests of council wanting to participate in open forum, please indicate so now in the chat. All right, if none, we'll move into question period. If any members of council have a question or a comment they would like to make, please indicate so in the chat. All right, we'll move on to board and committee business. We're starting with our one motion on the late ads, stat/Bo's move on behalf of the finance committee to have council ratify the proposed 2020/21 budget. Vice President Stat, do you want a minute to introduce?
Yes, please.
Okay, you have 1 minute, go for it.
All right, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So hello, all of council digitally. This is our budget coming forward much later than usual and in a very different way than how we had originally made it. However, it is the best budget we could do with everything that's been happening. The new budget, as you might have noticed, is a few million dollars less than the normal size of our budget, obviously reflecting the new environment we're in. But we have built something that we tried to be accurate with, responsible with, and also with a number of levers to be able to respond with some flexibility depending on the environment we move in. The last thing I would say is it is a deficit budget. We're looking at about a $54,000 deficit, but considering all the things we've had to balance, the amount of money we've lost, it actually is a very respectable deficit as well. So please feel free to ask any questions you have about it. The documents are all on there, and also the health and dental plan documents are in the late editions if you want to see those. Just a nice little summary of that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, perfect. So moving to debate on this, just a reminder for debate, everyone has three speaking turns that are each 4 minutes long. So use your time as wisely as you can. So Vice President Agarwal, you have 4 minutes, go for it.
I just want to say that this has not been easy. The past month and a half have been incredibly difficult for the Students' Union as an organization, for students across our campus, and I just want to applaud the tremendous work that's gone into every aspect of dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, and specifically with the budget. I want to commend VP Stat and VP-elect Alana Cran, as well as everyone else who's been involved, the entire executive team and those counselors who've been involved with the budget in figuring out how to amend the budget and adapt it to the hard circumstances that we are in. Regarding Manager Mark for all of his tireless and constant support in ensuring that the Students' Union is the best equipped to, you know, continue to provide the resources, the services, the advocacy that we do to make students' lives on campus. So I just wanted to say that and say that it's not been easy, but we will get through this. We'll get through it together, and the changes and the adaptations come with with the sort of big big decision. So props on everyone involved.
Perfect. Thank you, VP Agarwal. Is there any more debate on this motion? Councillor Vargas Alba, go for it.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just wondering because I can't read. Are there any, and I imagine there's cuts obviously across the board, but are there any programs or services that have been entirely cut or that have faced like more than 50% of reductions?
All right, thank you, Councillor Vargas Alba. General Manager Dumichel, go for it, 4 minutes.
One, Councillor Vargas, as far as I know, we're not canceling any programs permanently, but we have put some programs, we've closed some programs that just don't make sense to run at the time, at this time. So for example, SafeWalk is on hiatus, the farmers market is on hiatus, and so on. We expect under our planning scenarios that if there's any luck at all, we'll have everything up and going again in January.
Hey, perfect, thank you. Councillor Vargas Alba, your second speaking turn, go for it.
Yeah, perfect, thanks Mark. I'm also wondering whether there's any, because I know there's been conversations this year of increasing funding to specific committees, particularly to the Council Administrating Committee, that would then be handed out to different committees. Has that changed at all? I understand if it's not doable, but I'm just like wondering because I couldn't see that either.
Rick, thank you. If there's any more debate, please indicate so. General Manager Dumichel, go for it.
Honestly, Councillor Vargas, I don't know off the top of my head. I believe we've still left resources for councillors to do stuff. We haven't cut everything to the bone. We're being very smart about how we're moving forward with hiring. So I believe there is still money for councillors, although I'd have to check, and that would take me a few minutes.
Perfect, thank you. Vice President Statt.
I was going to largely say the same thing as Mark. We really tried to leave council and services as untouched as possible. A lot of the hits ultimately land on labor costs like staffing and the business side of things. Unfortunately, to my knowledge, I don't think we were able to increase funding to council. However, because obviously if we're making a choice between keeping a service alive or helping someone stay employed, and additional funding to council in this environment, with all the cuts we already had to make, we couldn't, I think, justify necessarily increasing it. However, CAC does still continue to have, once again, and Mark's double-checking this, that extra money they had this year, and ARC does continue to have its funding that it received in its own budget this year as well. So that will continue to be available, but unfortunately, with regards to increasing it, as I had originally hoped before this all happened, we really had to put that on pause, which was one of the difficult decisions we had to make, one of many difficult decisions we had to make.
Perfect, thank you. Is there any more debate on this motion? All right, if there is no more debate, then we're going to vote. So before the meeting in the WhatsApp chat, I sent you all a link to a folder that has Google Forms in it. Thank you, Vice President Agarwal. And in it, you'll see Google Forms. We're voting on the one titled Budget first. So if you can open that up, get that into your email. Please note that I'm not looking at who's voting for what. Rather, I'm just making sure that all the emails that are put in are actual councillor emails. But if you are a member of council and you can vote, please open that folder and vote if you're in favor or not. No, Councillor Bowes seconded it.
if you can't find it, I'll give you a few more minutes. But just before in this chat, Vice President Agarwal sent a link that has it. I also sent it in the WhatsApp chat. I can send it to you privately if you're really struggling. Also, if you need to right now, you can just private message me your vote. And I can send you the folder immediately following this when there's a bit more time. And if you're really struggling, just private message me your vote and I can tally it. And then we can try and help you after we're done voting. All right, so we'll close voting there. So with 17 in favor, zero opposition, and no abstentions, that carries. So thank you. So we will end that motion, and we will return to our main agenda. Stat/Vedesha move the second principles of Bill 8. So I will pass it over to you, VP Stat, for a minute to introduce this.
Thank you very much. I actually will defer my speaking time on this particular bill to the chair of bylaw, David Draper, as I think he deserves to be able to actually properly introduce this with the most background.
All right. Councillor Draper, you have 45 seconds.
Thank you. I'll be quick. So basically, this would be creating a new bylaw to give a consultation mechanism for all things the SU does that impacts Aboriginal students, which would by bylaw mandate us to consult with Aboriginal students before legislating on their behalf. This was something that was mostly written by Councillor Sunday. So I'm not unsure if he's in the meeting, but he probably answered a lot of questions about the reasoning behind it. But it governs our consultation with Aboriginal students and the process that we go for consultation.
Perfect, thank you. If anybody has any debate on this motion, please indicate so in the chat right now. Councillor Conrad?
Can you, does my mic work?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just pulling up what I had noted. This is a point of inquiry. I think I did the wrong one. Is parliamentary inquiry, is that to the chair or to a person?
That's to me, I think.
Point of interest. Is that the right one to David Draper?
Information.
Oh, darn. Okay. Point of information to David Draper.
Okay, go for it.
Under section 2.3, so purpose number 3. It's 3. Where you say which impact Aboriginal students in a manner materially distinct from how they impact students at large. That word materially distinct, when I read it, I understood it to mean like not emotionally, not spiritually, not socially, not whatever those other things are that would be not materially but still affect them. Should we change that, or am I misunderstanding how that's coming across or meant to mean?
Perfect. Okay. Councillor Draper, if you want to provide maybe like a quick definition of that, that'd be ideal. But if you want to debate it, please add yourself to the speaking list. But Councillor Draper, otherwise, go ahead.
I guess if you would like to make a motion to remove the word materially and just be distinct, you can make that motion and be friendly.
Right, perfect. General Manager Dumichel, go for it.
I don't know what the proper procedure is in this point of information, but materiality is not, shush, Bentley, is not a clearly defined term, I grant, but it is better than just distinct. If you just say distinct, anything that's different becomes eligible under this bylaw. That makes the bylaw essentially unworkable. The materially distinct is something that our staff recommended be put in so that the scope of the bylaw did not become such that it would become too onerous to administer.
Perfect. Thank you. So if there is no more debate, then we'll vote on this. So again, in that folder, you'll see a document called Bill 8. Please vote there. Just a few more seconds to try and get your vote in. Okay, we're going to end the voting there. So with 16 in favor, 0 opposition, and 0 abstentions, that carries. Moving on to our next one, we have Bhatnagar moves to discuss the online transition process for incoming student counselors. After talking with her a little bit, and she can correct me if I'm wrong, but we're going to change it to going into committee of the whole to discuss this. So is there a seconder for this motion? If so, can you please indicate so in the chat? Whoever counts to Conrad, thank you. So I'll just give you, I guess, a minute to introduce President Bhatnagar, and then we'll just vote if you want to go into committee of the whole. So go for it.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This just came out of a conversation that we had with the Council Administration Committee last week, that there's a little bit of concern regarding transition processes and a couple of ideas just amidst the COVID crisis. And so I just wanted to facilitate a conversation here for people to be able to give me their thoughts and feedback. I took note of a couple of the changes or the couple of the suggestions that were made last week at CAC. And then I can't guarantee that we're gonna implement them all, but because we are changing the way that our governance offices work, Kristen Stoiker, Manager of Administrative Services, happens to be on this call as well. So I'll be taking notes for her as the tables have turned in this moment to be able to provide them with our staff to be able to help transition the incoming counselors even during something like this. So GovCamp is up for discussion if people want to provide feedback and thoughts regarding that.
Perfect. Thank you. So we're going to vote right now just to enter committee of the whole. So I made a Google form, so we might as well use it. So in that folder is one called Transition Process. And then please vote there if you want to go into committee of the whole. And so it is somewhat orderly in committee of the whole. We'll still have a speaking list and everything. In the folder that I shared, there's a document called Transition Process. We're voting on that one. So we'll still have a speaking list and that will work the same way. The only difference is that there's no time limit on how long you have to speak, and you also have unlimited speaking terms.
and it's a little more fluid, but it'll be interesting to see how it works over over Zoom. I will end voting there. 13 in favor, 0 opposition, and no abstentions. So we're in committee the whole. So again, if you want to be on this in this discussion, please indicate so in the chat. There's no limit to how long you can speak and how much you can speak. But again, do try and be somewhat reasonable with how much time you take up. But I'll leave it all up to you to decide that. So Councillor Beasley, go for it.
Hi, folks. So I PM'd this to you, Akanksha, earlier, but I was wondering on the position that's being created. Here, I'm just going to find the exact name of it. The governance support specialists. We talked about this a little bit at CAC last week, and the Jobkin posting's been put up. But I was wondering if you could just elaborate on like what the specific role breakdown will be between Kristen and the governance support specialist, and like how they're going to help like counsel and FAs and stuff. I don't know if I can ask questions in this, but
yeah. So it's just if you just want to talk, just put your name on the list, and then we'll just do it. Normally, it'd be much more fluid, but again, we're over Zoom. I'll triple check for you, VP Larson, but I think President Bhatnagar is correct. President Bhatnagar, go for it.
I was just going to say, to that point, you can only make motions relevant to the motion at hand. But just to respond to to Chris Beasley's point, so that is correct. We are looking at finding somebody to do governance support. So as was mentioned, we kind of changed the way that the Office of Discover Governance works, simply because we heard feedback for the past few years that maybe was a model that we might have to change around. And so we're still gonna be doing all the things that the office does. So supporting FAs, DAs, SRAs, but specifically the governance support position is a part-time temporary person. So if you know anybody, tap them on the shoulder. But they're sort of able to work with governance representatives to keep them connected with the SU, ensure that they're working with Kristen to help provide the administrative sort of day-to-day supports that counselors would need and that FAs would need. So that might look like connecting audit committee with the VP finance from different FAs. That might look like supporting the speaker online for these sort of online style meetings come the new semester, I would like to call it, but it's not like the new term. It is like a pretty new position. It's a little bit of a mix of the old student governance officer and a couple of pieces of feedback specifically given from council. And so the job description is up in public, but the day-to-day operation of the job is gonna just depend on the work that Kristen and that person talks to, and also the conversation we're having here today will help influence the person's job task list going forward. So it really is like a really exciting position. I do wish it could have been a full-time position, as I do agree with a lot of the feedback given in years past that this is a very important thing, and I don't want this to show that we don't care. We just did not have the funds to support this, and it took a lot of work on the budgetary side to even have a part-time person. So while we are looking to make this a full-time position eventually, once we can afford to do so, temporarily this is going to be a part-time student position.
Perfect, thank you. So I'll just note, I did a hint of research on Committee of the Whole, and I'll note that based on my research, we can consider and make recommendations on matters that are specifically pertaining to this issue.
but we cannot take up other matters or vote directly on the assembly's business. And we'll interpret that as we go. And Councillor Bowles, you can go for it, but yeah, the next meeting next week will be speaker selection, but otherwise go for it. Yeah, so Councillor Bowles, it's an excellent question, and I'm still thinking it through a little bit because I'm kind of thinking how we're going to allow for a in-camera session to operate that also allows for confidential preferential ballots. So just note that I'm thinking it through, and I'll be doing research this upcoming week to figure it out fully. And I will get back to the new council with a plan before next meeting. But hopefully that helps. Councillor Kidd.
Am I next? Tally is definitely before me.
Oh, sorry, I just skipped over a bunch of people. Sorry, Councillor Dixon.
Hello. I don't have a ton to say, but I think some things that I experienced was just generally being confused about like how I personally should go about getting work done. And I know those documents already exist and like there's a lot of information out there, but I like had to do a lot of my own learning. And, you know, I feel like sometimes counselors have to go out of their way to do that. And I know that's something that I've spoken to a few counselors about having to kind of go through that process of, because not everybody gets to go through like processes like Stride or whatever, which are awesome. And sometimes GovCamp is just like a lot of information at once. I don't remember a single thing from it because I was like, what's going on? So just making sure that, I don't know if maybe when I first became a counselor, I just missed this, but making sure that that's all collated and very easy to find for new counselors. And I also was just wondering, this is kind of a question, I don't know who can answer this best, is kind of what GovCamp is going to look like for this year. I know that it was mentioned in the email for those of us who are returning / new counselors that there's going to be like GovCamp.online. But I was just wondering what that's going to look like, because I can imagine that it's very different, because one of the big things about GovCamp is just building relationships, right? And so I'm very worried about how we're going to be able to allow counselors to build relationships if they just don't get to meet in person until like January, worst case scenario, if that makes sense.
All right, now Councillor Kidd.
I think Councillor Bowes is before me on the speaking list.
Well, Councillor Bowes doesn't have a microphone, and I answered his speaker question.
Okay, whatever, sorry. Okay, so what I was going to say, my suggestion, I said it at CAC and I talked to the other execs about it, but I think it'd be really good to set up a mentorship program with some of the outgoing counselors to new incoming counselors who are interested. I know it's been brought up that the University of Calgary does a similar sort of program. So if we could find a way to set that up, you just need outgoing counselors to volunteer just to help mentor the incomings. Hopefully, if we have enough people, we can connect them by like similar committees or interests, try and do it so that, you know, that they're definitely, that this is a beneficial service for them. I don't have like a ton of ideas about timeline, and that's something maybe we can talk about as a whole council, but that was just kind of my idea and I'd love some feedback on it.
Okay, perfect, thank you. Councillor Vargas Alba.
Yeah, something I had mentioned last week's Council Administrative Committee meeting was that it would possibly be useful to have outgoing or even like present chairs and counselors offer small seminars or webinars, I guess, in this case, with incoming people. So I could offer something along the lines of an introduction to policy, how it works, either before or after that the new policy committee is appointed, but either way, just giving people a proper understanding of what that looks like, because I know even for me as the chair, it was very confusing and I sometimes am very still confused by how that process works. And I think just like being able to get like that information from the person who that lasted that work is incredibly beneficial. And I mean, I also think that, and I don't want to like fall and tell everyone to do this, but there would be benefit to even just doing that on a voluntary basis. Obviously, we're like in a really weird place right now, so I wouldn't want to set the expectation that we should all be doing unpaid work. But especially if our terms are over, but I think that it would be beneficial to have a conversation on how we're transitioning the skills that we wish we had outside of just an expectation of GovCamp, because even then we can't fit all those skills into that. And I think it's best to just get people to register to those individual webinars, particularly when a lot of us have a lot of, we're going to have a lot of free time in the coming, who knows, months. That's it.
Thank you, Councillor C.
Yeah, so I definitely wanted to support what Councillor Vargas Alba was also saying about, yeah, the transition between like the chair to the next one. I would totally be open to like calling the next one who's in chair to make sure they have a really good transition the next year. And then I also think it'd be great just for council as a whole to like practice Robert's rules. So like everybody can just go like down the line and like practice like asking a question or I don't know, making some kind of motion. So that the next council is just has practice doing it. And so it's not the first time when the first time, you know, they actually have a question, it's their first time motioning for a question. So that, and then also I think updating the manual, because I don't know who does the manual, but it's probably the governance officer, whoever it is, like the governance office in the SU. So that it's really out of date. So whoever does the updates for that, I think there should be updates every year. And then also for chairs to, before they, when they go in to review the bylaws, because yeah, like seeing what actually works with reality, because I know like last year for the committee, they didn't really follow the bylaws. And this year I didn't follow it strictly because it didn't work with what was actually happening in that committee. So I think reviewing the bylaws are really good so that nothing happens with like bad governance and like breaking a bylaw because it doesn't work with reality or what the situation is in that committee. So yeah, those are just a couple of things.
Thank you, President Battinger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I feel like I forgot the first question that Juan asked. Sorry, I was typing really fast. If you could just retype your question into the chat, that would be great. I remember the rest of them, but talking about Counselor Kidd's mentorship program, I totally do think this is a good idea. I think that it's a lot to ask outgoing people to do it, but I do think that looking at senior counselors and like counselors who are new and creating a mentorship program in that sense, it's definitely something that we should be looking at. And I know VP Agarwal / President-elect Agarwal has been looking a lot at that model as well. So I know he has a lot of really great ideas coming forward. I think that there was some conversation about what GovCamp is going to look like, and while I totally agree that the relationship building is going to be hard, it doesn't necessarily mean that it can't happen. I actually do like, and now that I'm leaving soon, I think I can say this. I think that there needs to be some responsibility put on counselors to organize like some sort of get together. And I know that's asking a lot, but like, to be honest, I tried all year and like, I feel like no one really took it on in terms of like us trying to go to a game or us trying to move and sit in different spots. So I really did try something, but I don't know if that was taken up well. I think that's, to be very blunt, again, an awkward position that the executive is in, is like we want to do these things and then we try and then it's not really upkept. At the end of the day, it's like this awkward dichotomy of like, well, if our bosses don't want to do this and we shouldn't be forcing it. So I would say if you guys want to host like Zoom watch parties, like I know that VP Agarwal is more than happy to set those up. I just think that like, to his benefit, it would be very helpful if you folks are able to like provide some guidance there or like feedback, like, because I just think that's what we were missing this year, is like I kept asking those kind of questions and then there wasn't necessarily any kind of uptake or response, and then things got stuck there. Even if people don't have Netflix, I mean, we can figure out a way to do things online that are not ideal, but just the way they have to get done. I know that as soon as we can, we are going to be doing an in-person GovCamp. So as soon as we're allowed to meet in person, the manager of administrative services, Kristen, is aware that this is a priority for council and has made it a priority for her as well to be able to facilitate an in-person like get together. It might not be educational because it might be all the way in January, but at least getting together and knowing that that is important. but I would say that the mentorship program is a really great kind of model for that. And I feel like even though GovCamp is like pretty rambunctious and it's like a lot of fun, that I just think that positive outlook is probably the best advice I would give to people, is like, this isn't ideal. And like, I for sure feel that, like, and I'm always on your guys' side about all this training stuff, because I very much agree with all the sentiments that have been brought up over the past like couple years, which is why we've made such intense changes. I just like think that we have to for some reason like be really like creative in our thought process about how we're going to orient a new council to this weird online setting. So of course I leave that up to you folks. Like, I'm happy to give like my specific creative thoughts if people want, like, offline and stuff. And then talking about the TLDRs of committee work, I do like that idea. Talking about like, how is a policy actually created? What are the steps of creating a bylaw? Because I think that's important for all of council to know, not just committee members. So I'm writing all this down as you folks are talking, but I feel like I'm missing a couple of general questions that were just made. So if you want to just re-ask them, that would be great. But other than that, very much on your side. This is a really great conversation. So definitely keep them coming.
VP Agarwal.
So a lot of the conversation that I've been hearing so far, I echo what Councillor Vargas Alba, Councillor Dixon are talking about, the sort of the importance of GovCamp, and I recognize camp potential for position and onboarding of a board of directors that is managing and setting the vision for a multi-million-dollar organization. I think there are going to be changes for sure. Like, we're going to have to make changes and adapt to this. Everyone's making changes. And I think some of those in-person things, like, we're not going to be able to do that. That being said, we're sort of working very closely with Kristen, the administrative assistant, and I like all of the suggestions that I'm hearing here to bring them, training sessions for how to write bylaws, how to write policies, things like that. So I agree with that. I think GovCamp is definitely going to happen. It's just going to be in a different sort of venue. It's going to be online. And if you all have any other comments or sort of suggestions around that, I'd be happy to take them. I was on a call with the VP academic from the University of Calgary Students Union, and we were able to get sort of a conversation about their onboarding and sort of the mentorship program that they have set. So I'm happy to onboard that and start it up on the first or the second council meeting for the 2020 and 2021 year. But again, happy to take any feedback or comments around that as well.
Councillor Dixon.
Again, just really quick kind of comments. First of all, I really love the idea, Kenisha, of having like more socials. And I think like definitely returning councillors / exec can take that on more, because I had never even thought about that. But I think that that's something that has been used in other clubs that I'm a part of, that's like super effective at making those bonds and friends. My second kind of thing was just kind of also about something that I think could be made more clear in this year's GovCamp, because I know that people who are planning GovCamp are listening, is kind of just speaking about how kind of committees that are new are formed and those kinds of things as well. I don't know if that's specific enough, but like, for example, I know that we had twice it kind of happened with like the sustainability committee as well as with the structural representation task force, or whatever the full name of that is, where it was created, it was really great ideas, and then primarily like I think new counselors kind of led in that, and then because they didn't know what to do afterwards, they just kind of fell by the wayside for like a few weeks or months, right? And so I think making those kinds of things very clear would also be something good, because I don't remember that being told to me at GovCamp, but I also might have just completely forgotten because it was like an information overload for me and I forgot a lot of the stuff I learned. So yeah, just that was a quick note.
Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Conrad.
Great thoughts all around. Was looking for some stuff, because definitely what I'm hearing is we need relationship, and Akanksha already said we need relationship. That's good. Just wondering the line between you know, encouraging people to take initiative and somehow mandating that that is an expectation of a counselor, just as effective advocacy is a requirement, just as attending meetings, having read the order papers is a requirement. And I was just looking on a resource website here, and there's a little bit here. I think in our the do-it-yourself GovCamp, so I imagine that would make it into the real GovCamp too. So glad to see that. But yeah, definitely some social stuff that's great. One thing I thought of was online Catan. They offer that. It's free for like everyone to play together, and that would just be wonderful.
Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Beasley.
Hey folks, I just wanted to plus one what everyone else has been saying and then talk a little bit more on something that Talia mentioned than the first time that she like brought it up. Cause I just wanted to like kind of add on like my thoughts on like the importance of like having these kinds of positions be able to like reach out and be able to like introduce themselves to us and introduce themselves to FAs. Cause I think a lot of the time, like the problems that we run into are not that like the incredibly smart people that help us and like the exec don't know everything and don't have like access to all this information and access to like all the people and stuff. It's that oftentimes, especially when it comes to new counselors or like newer members of FAs or executives, like they don't know who to talk to or who to get to. And so I don't know if this is something to think about maybe for the incoming role, but it could be really cool if like anybody in this position like takes the time to reach out to every chair once the chairs are elected, to set up like one-on-one meetings, to ask how things are going, to help offer support like as things are coming up. And then to do a lot of those one-on-one meetings with FAs as well, I think would be really good. I know Akanksha, you did that as the SGO during your first summer, I think, just to kind of reach out. But I think that could be something that would be really helpful going forward, especially now that like these resources are even more inaccessible because like it's not only working up the courage to talk to somebody, but it's working up the courage to talk to them like in an online medium or through an email. And that's just always just a little bit more awkward and a little bit weirder. So yeah, that was my little contribution.
President Batniger.
Sorry, I take my speaking turn back.
Okay, then Vice President Brown.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, this might be a little bit of an unpopular opinion, but I honestly don't think we need to institutionalize socializing within council. I've heard these sorts of conversations happening every year for the last few years. The tone of council is set by the councillors that are there. And if there are councillors that want to create council bonding opportunities, then they should take that initiative themselves. Council is a place where we obviously need to have respectful dialogue, and we need to, I think there is friendly decorum that needs to be there for sure, but not everybody on council needs to be super tight. We just need an environment that is conducive to productive decision-making for students. Where people are feeling that they are free to speak their mind. So as we transition in the council for next year, I think it's really important to let them really decide how they want to set that tone amongst themselves. It would probably be good to just have a committee of the whole session similar to this, where folks on council can, folks on next year's council can just express what they want to get out of the role, or that sort of thing. Have a little bit of a round table around sort of what kind of a culture you want to have. We've done this within the CASA membership, where at the beginning of the year we'll set sort of an expectations of our membership. What do we want to get done this year? What kind of environment do we want to have? And then we just go forward with it, and people can take initiative to do things if they want, but that, you know, that is what council is there to do at the end of the day, is be an environment that is friendly and open, which is something that everyone should be striving towards constantly outside of any social events or anything. And a group that will get things done. And I don't think, as I said, I don't think we need to institutionalize socializing. I think we just need to leave that up to next year's council to figure out what kind of a group they want to be together.
Perfect. Thank you. Councillor Conrad.
Yeah, I really like that, Adam. It's really great to give some autonomy. But even as you said, with kind of moving to that committee of the whole and having that roundtable discussion, could we say that like next year's executive or next term's executive pose those questions, like because we still need someone leading that, but that is that how that would go, something like that? Just so it's tangible.
President Banninger?
Just wanted to like very aggressively plus one the comments of of VP Brown. Like I definitely think because we're leaving soon, like I have a lot to say about this, and like VP Brown put it together very well, where I feel like a lot of these like nitty gritty details of like, should we meet? Should we not meet? How do we transition? What does that look like? Like, I don't know how much like execs have to be involved. Like I've said this all year, like it's so uncomfortable for me as like an employee of you to be like, hey bosses, can you please get together and learn these things? And then we don't do it, and then we get criticized for it, and we do it and we get criticized for it. So what I am saying is like, I have literally been asking for this all year. Like, we need to talk about the task force on structural representation, because it's literally been like that. I think that conversation is so necessary. And like, I really do think that council needs to be literally half the size. It needs to be paid. It needs to have way more professional development. There needs to be a lot more pragmatic conversations, because right now we barely have quorum. I don't think we've had a full meeting all year. And while that's, I get it, people have other priorities. Like, you were elected to show up at minimum 50% of the time. And even then, like, I'm not trying to call it a faculty association or a faculty right now, but like, just to put it out there, like, is anyone from the faculty of business here? Like, from the counselor side? And I just don't get that, right? Because we approved the SU budget today, the biggest in point pack that you folks could have had just passed, which is incredible. And I know that there's been a lot of people who've been engaged and very patient with the process, especially amidst this, but like, when budget principles come forward, like, do you know, I feel like, and I'm not trying to blame counselors at all, but it's like, this is a cultural thing that we're talking about at this point. And I think a position to support governance is helpful, but I think I don't want to delve too deep into like the whole concept of, is the culture of council working? Because A, it's not my responsibility anymore. I tried for 2 whole years to like figure this shit out. And I don't know why it didn't work. And I think it's literally because we have too many people trying to make decisions. And I just think that we need to be able to stop, I guess, to be very blunt, blaming the SU for all these cultural problems, when it is a lot of the time counselors that create this. And I'm not saying that it's execs that are not creating it as well. The weird imbalance definitely started years ago. I think we did a great job over the past few years changing that and being very open and transparent. But I just don't, like, I don't want this place to be scary for a lot of other people. And I know it is for a lot of execs. A lot of execs do not feel comfortable being at council. And I think a lot of counselors don't feel comfortable around each other. And I think that that culture has to stop coming from this adversarial perspective and just being like, every time council is like, the SU is failing me, it's like, actually you're failing the SU, because you're part of the SU when you decided to run for this position and be part of it. So I'm happy to like talk about the culture if that's what folks want to do right now, but I just don't think that that's a positive direction, because I can't fix the culture in this, the rest of this meeting. That's really up to next year. So if folks have idea about specific like training modules they want to see going forward, or like specific things that they would want the governance person to do, like specifically, for example, set up like a meeting of the chairs every month or something like that. That is, I think, great feedback. But I don't know if the conversation around culture is necessarily the best way to go about this, just because like, it's, we can't keep saying that this is an exec problem, because like, we really tried and people just didn't, like, I don't know. I'm going to start ranting. I have a lot to say, but I'm not going to say it. I just think that if people have specific stuff for the governance position, please let me know.
All right, thank you, President Banninger. If there is any more thoughts about this on this topic, please indicate so now. But otherwise, we'll carry on. All right. We do have to make a motion to leave committee of the whole. Could someone make that motion, and then can someone else second it, ideally? That's it. Okay, moved by Brown. Seconded by Bose, thank you. I don't have a form ready for this. So I'll assume, is there any opposition to leaving committee of the whole? Okay, perfect. We are back in, we're out of committee of the whole into committee of the difference. So we're back. We're going to move on in our agenda. Still on the main one, Bhatnagar moves to update standing orders section 9.1A to read, in quotes, members of the executive committee will provide a written report at a minimum of 2 meetings of students council per month. Is there a seconder for this motion? Vice President Brown, perfect, thank you. All right, President Bhatnagar, I'll give you a minute to introduce.
Hey, this was just to fix a quick mistake that we made in the standing orders for last time. It just said members of the executive will provide a written report at every meeting of Students Council. For example, like if we were to call a meeting like every 3 days for some emergency, that would mean that we would have to submit one every single time, which we're happy to do if that's what council wants. But this motion is just to say that it's at minimum 2 times. So we could submit it obviously more times, but just specifying that at minimum, we're going to do 2 per month. But yeah. That's basically all it is.
Perfect, thank you. Is there any debate on this motion? Right, if there's not, you can go to your folders again, and there's a document called Standing Orders. Please vote there if you're in favor of this.
Mr. Speaker, is there a seconder for that motion?
Yeah, apologies if it's not letting you vote. That is bizarre. It says you voted, though, President Bhatnagar, just so you know. Okay. All right, so we'll end voting there. But with 15 in favor, 0 opposition, and 0 abstentions, that carries. Perfect. Thank you. Is there anything else for the agenda today, or is there a need to go into a closed session from anybody?
Yeah, Robert, can I make a motion from the floor?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Can I make a motion? I can't really go on behalf of anybody. It's just on behalf of me. Can I make a motion to make an additional resolution to the public transit and active transportation policy? That reads that the Students Union will advocate that the City of Edmonton rename the Corona LRT station to be the Henshaw station. I guess in commemoration assessment of her efforts during COVID-19?
Do you just, yeah, would you be able to post that in the chat, like write it out or something if you have it?
I'm just typing it up in the Google Doc right now.
Okay, so I'll just give everyone a quick rundown of how policy amendments work. So I was doing some research and I couldn't figure out anything to the contrary. And if someone here else knows, then we can discuss it. But policies are amended on two separate, they have to be pretty much to amend a policy, council has to vote twice, and the voting has to be 7 days apart. And in between, it has to go to policy committee for approval. So I'm not sure, my line of thinking right now is that if this happens, if this passes, then next year's policy committee will review it, and then next year's council will make the second vote on it. I was doing research. I couldn't figure out anything to the contrary. If that's wrong, then next year's speaker and next year's policy committee and council can revisit it. So,
and Robert
is Larson like, moves. Sorry, VP Larson?
Sorry, I was just going to ask, was that for like to just up and bring a policy, or is that to make an amendment to an existing policy?
It's also amendment. So it's adoption, amendment, or rescinding a policy.
Okay.
So I'll say Larson moves. Is there a seconder from someone? Sorry,
just to quickly butt in. It's my understanding that if a policy doesn't make it to second principles within a term, it actually dies on the floor and it has to be brought back again as first principles in the upcoming term. It doesn't start over as second principles.
Okay, that's excellent to know, because I was unsure of it as well. And I cannot find anything, unfortunately, in Robert's rules or in any of our standing orders or any of our bylaws. So with that in mind, VP Larson, do you want to vote on it anyway, knowing that it might die, or do you want to?
Yeah, actually, can we vote on it anyways and then just like make note of it to bring it back again next year in case it gets forgotten?
Yeah, sure. I'm fine with that. And then ultimately, if it's not binding, it's not binding on the S2.
Yeah, that's fine.
So if Kid Larson moves, seconded by Kid. So we'll go on to Councillor Draper.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the opportunity to speak. I definitely think that's a good idea and something that could be done to honor Dr. Dina Hinshaw for her great work during the COVID-19 crisis. However, one thing I would like to note is the historical whatever the word is, that Corona Station actually has, because it's named after the old Corona Hotel. So as much as I do like the idea of having a Hinshaw Station, I think what might be good is to do something similar to what happened with Grand and Government Central, where it was Grand and Station, Government Central, where they combined the two names. So if we had a Dr. Hinshaw Corona Station or a Corona Hinshaw Station, something like that, where it's a combined version of the current name and named after Hinshaw, that could be a good idea, in my opinion.
Right, perfect. Thank you. VP Larson, did you want to speak?
I just wanted to speak a little bit to like why I really brought this motion forward. And I mean, looking at everything that's happened historically, like World War I's, World War II's, the Spanish flu, Great Depression, a lot of the most impactful global events have had significant leaders commemorated in cities, in, you know, provinces in our nation. And I think that, you know, I saw some talk about this online for a train station in Kelowna to be named after Bonnie Henry for their minister, or not minister, same doctor thing. But I just thought this could be a cool idea, and I thought to pitch it to council so at least, you know, before my term is done and I'm out of here, it could be put on some official record or be brought back to life and be put on official record for next year. But that's all I want to say.
Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Vargas Alba.
No, sorry, I just butted instead.
Okay. Governor Lee recommends the Hinshaw Corona Slayer Station. So you all know. Is there any more debate on this motion? Okay, if there's not, I made a new form in the folder. It's called Amendment to Transit Policy. So everyone can go to that one and vote there. I didn't put the whole motion. It just says Larson/Kidd move to amend the transit policy. Just refresh the folder, refresh the Google Drive page if it's not showing up, and then vote there. And let me know if it's not working or if you can't see it. Sorry, Councillor Draper, we're already voting.
Robert, can I just non-confidentially vote in favor? I can't find the folder.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay, we'll end the voting there. So with 12 in favor and 2 in opposition and 0 abstentions, that carries. So in theory, it would go to policy committee next, but we'll see what exactly happens in terms of the transition into next year's council. With that, we'll keep going. Is there anything that needs to be done for a closed session at anybody? Second. All right. If not, then we will do attendance and call it there. President Batnagar.
Present.
VP Agarwal.
Present.
VP Brown.
Here.
VP Stat.
Here.
VP Larson. Are you here, VP Larson? I know you are, but.
Yes.
Governor Lee?
Here.
Councilor Conrad?
Yeah.
Councilor Vargas Alba?
One last time.
Councilor Beasley?
Thanks, everybody.
Councilor Chen? Councilor Dixon?
Yep.
Councilor Draper?
This term is officially canceled.
Councilor Isaac? Councillor Kidd?
Yeah.
Councillor Seed? Okay, no Councillor Seed. Councillor Bowes? New Councillor Baticki? Councillor Harris?
Here.
Thank you. Councillor Sunday? Councillor Nguyen? Councillor Blondin? Councillor Hadouche? Councillor Badesha?
Yeah, I'm here, sorry.
All good. Councillor Dillon? Councillor Gutierrez?
Here.
And Councillor Syed.
Here.
Perfect. Thank you. Make sure to fill out the council exit survey if you can. Let me know if you want me to send it to you. I can. But thanks for the great year. We're adjourned at 7:21.
Thanks, folks. It's been fun.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Stay safe.
Bye, everyone. Wash your hands. You don't.